Here comes the Sun King. Everybody's happy. Everybody's laughing. Happy.
Sabrika, Rashi, what are you guys singing?
We're singing Sun King.
Oh, you like the Beatles song?
No. The song sucks, but so does the guy that lives up the street. He's giant and he's laying out on his lawn.
Don't make fun of our neighbors. I've seen that guy.
He's just hanging out unabashedly, him and all of his orbiting planets of cheese.
He's the Sun King.
Rashi, that's not very nice, attacking somebody personally like that.
Nobody knows the garbage gibberish.
Everybody's laughing.
I think I've heard you sing that song to him out the window of the car as we sped by. That's
not singing, more yelling.
That's not very nice, Rashi.
Could have been you.
Hello, I'm Paul Dini.
And you are yelling into your microphone.
Was that too loud? Was that too strident?
Flippy Dini.
Ezra, do you have both eardrums?
Yes, I'm okay now.
Oh, okay. Yeah, all right.
What?
Yes. Hey!
Shut it, quit your yelling.
It's like a taser between my ears there. Going out there.
Your brain's a taser.
My brain's a taser? Where is that coming from?
I don't know.
Oh, it's
what
great,
though.
What
do you have in your hand there?
I have the cover for the new issue of Jingle Bell.
She looks sexy.
That's really pretty cool. It's coming out this December.
Is that how it's going to be colored? All in like retro colors like that?
Yeah. You know, I just...
Sometimes you show me art and your ink is half out. And so I never know.
No, you know what?
Ink is really half out. What?
I know, right? I never know if that's really how it's going to look. Or
that's what they say to anchors at Comic Cons. They want to embarrass them. Hey, your ink is half out.
Oh, P.U. All right, P.U. What is this? What's going on with this?
Well, Stephanie just sent me this. Actually, she had done this.
Love Stephanie Gladden.
This was one of the alternate covers we did for last year. She had submitted a bunch of them, and I liked it, but we went with the ones with the monkeys on the cover. But this is a really nice piece, and she asked if she could do it as a print, and she was going to sell it at Dragon Con this weekend, which we unfortunately will not be appearing at this year.
Yeah.
But I said, sure, that's absolutely fine. And she finished the piece, but not in time to have it made into poster. So I think next year she's going to go to some cons and do that. And if we ever show up at a convention together, I said that I'd sign it with her. But it's a lovely piece. And she's sitting here on a tuffet by a Christmas tree, pulling on her socks and boots. And looks really cute. They are kind of retro colors. I just sent it off to Top Cow, and they're... make the decision. They usually go a little more realistic in the colors, but I think this looks nice, and a lot of the book is going to be in these retro colors too, because part of the book is going to be, we are reprinting the Grounded story for last year, which was a Harvey Award nominee. Unfortunately, it did not win. We lost to Tiny Titans, but a lot of people read it, and a lot of people really loved it, and so they all want to see the story again, so it's coming out. And we'll probably have about, 8 to 10 pages of new stories and some other stuff. I'm actually trying to decide what to put in there right now. So there's going to be a short Polly story. And
I think you should put a nice crayon and chalk drawing of a very realistically rendered chili pepper.
Wow. Oh. I don't even know what to make. That's your contribution to
that's my idea.
Okay.
Take it or leave it, but you're a loser if you don't take it.
Okay, we'll have
the
a
page. Plant the chili pepper, or like one of the musicians?
Hate those guys.
So you just
plant.
You just want a chili pepper drawing in there, okay?
Yeah.
All right. Will you do the drawing?
No.
Well, who's going to do the artwork?
Who does your artwork? You don't draw your own stories. My story is, here's this chili pepper, the end.
I'll
that's
draw
a good
it
story.
If you
it's very figures. Complete.
Well, there's a page we don't have to worry about. Okay, I'll get on that one right away.
Yeah.
Okay.
I'll live like my $500 per page fee.
What?
Hey, I just wrote half your work.
I don't get $500 for the whole book.
Well, you're not as famous as me.
Okay. Well, I can't argue with
point.
That.
Yeah.
I like this. I like this shot. There's her little pet fox there.
Yeah. I'm busy looking at her legs.
Yeah. Actually, we were going to call this one Jingle Bell Gift Wrapped. But then I thought...
Weren't you going to call it Stocking Stuffers?
Or well, you know what? We were going to come out with that trade last year called Stocking Stuffers. And, it didn't sell... It wasn't nobody bought it, basically. They bought the story because it made more sense not to do the trade because, I have to confess, the orders were very low on it. Uh-huh. And it had that very distinctive cover with the monkeys and the Christmas stockings. And this one's coming out just as a floppy, like a standalone 32-page issue comic. And so we thought, we didn't want to seem like we were soliciting the trade again. And actually,
Slimmer or anything.
Yeah. You know, it's sort of like Jingle Bells, God bless all the fans. I love both you guys. terrific to buy the book every year. Yeah. No, but, let's not kid ourselves. It doesn't have the same sell-through as something like, Justice League or Spider-Man or
something. It's also never been marketed to an appropriate audience.
No, and that's...
Because 30-something-year-old dudes really can't be expected to care about Santa Claus's 16-year-old daughter unless she's looking like she's pushing the limits there.
Okay. Well, yeah, and this is more like grown-up, slightly more grown-up Harvey comics, the orders on the
trade... For people who don't know what they are, will you tell, like me?
Harvey comics? Yeah. That was like Sad Sack and Casper and Wendy and Little Doc.
Oh, my favorites.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Little Hot Stuff.
Maybe
stuff.
Lesser Tex Avery.
What? Yeah.
Maybe lesser than Tex Avery. Though,
yeah.
Not as an adult.
Yeah. I mean, our version of Hot Stuff is Krampus, who will have a solo story in this.
Nice.
But it's, the orders on the trade weren't that great. But then the orders on the Top Cow holiday special were really good. And we thought, well, let's make that the trade. So we put the Jingle Bell story in there. We put the one from 2 years ago, which was the Frankenstein story in there, and a lot of new material, so it made a really solid thing, and the orders on that were pretty good. So this year, because we were nominated for the Harvey, we're bringing the Grounded story out again, and, a lot of new material and everything, and although now that I see that, I like the title, Gift Wrapped, but, her boots are off, so we could call it Jingle Belt Rebooted, and get in on the whole DC Comics rebooting. You're giving me the look of ice. Mm-hmm. You've turned into Heidi Horfrost over there. Okay, well, we won't be doing Jingle Belt Rebooted. No one's going to get it, and the gag will be over by Christmas.
So will.
So over. Okay, but her little fox is in the shot. That's nice. Mm-hmm. She has a little fox for a pet. You want to talk about our pets?
What's your little fox's name?
Bluey.
Bluey?
Yeah, I really stretched for that one.
That sounds like something I would name something.
Well, yes.
But when I lived in Lansing, I lived with a family.
Yeah.
There was a little girl named Alex Wandwa. Her name was actually really Alexandra, but she couldn't say Ha-Oz. And so she did two things very, very quickly that had to do with color. I'll just tell the one that has to do with color and then the reason I started laughing and talking about her.
Yeah.
The first one is, I was putting eye drops in. I was getting ready to go out for the evening. And she says, why for do you put in eye drops? Do you got a pink eye? And I said, no, I don't got a pink eye. Because she had pink eye when she was a little girl and she remembered that. Uh-huh. But the other thing is, she used to name everything Casey. And everything you'd give her, I would say, what will you name it? And she goes, I will name it Casey. And I said, why are you naming this Casey? Because I name everything Casey.
That's good.
Oh. Keeps it easy. Well, what's this little noodle stuffed noodle's name? Casey. What's this little stuffed bear's name? Casey. And she wasn't kidding. She named everything Casey. It was very cute.
What if you asked her to go bring you Casey? Would she bring everything?
Whatever she wanted.
Oh, okay.
She would say, which Casey? It's like when you order soda in Texas. I'll take a Coke. You have to ask them what kind.
Yeah, yeah.
Like an orange
Sprite.
Coke. Or a Dr. Pepper Coke.
Yeah. Or Sprite.
Sprite. It's not Sprite, it's Sprite.
I'll have a Coke. I worked in my grandparents. They were in the Masons. And my grandpa was in the Masons. My grandma's in the Eastern Star. And they worked on this truck to raise money for the county fair.
Yes.
They would do this like fundraiser and they would do good deeds with the money they raised.
Mm-hmm.
And I would work in the truck. And they would come up and say, I'll take two Cokes, please. And you'd have to say, what kind? Because at first I would get them Cokes, and they'd be like, no, I wanted a Sprite. And it's like, are you kidding me with that right now?
Because, every place
else... But they thought it was hysterical that I called it Pop, because I'm from Michigan.
Well, Pop is like, even that's more, generic. And then
anything could be Pop.
Everything else, every place else, it's like soda, except there are weird pockets of the U.S. where it's like, a phosphate, please.
Yeah.
I will have a phosphate. Oh, you will, Dudley, and what will Nell and Snidely be having? They will also be having a phosphate. A root beer phosphate. Make mine sarsaparilla. Oh, Dudley, I'll have elderberry. It's something we're doing Bad Dudley Do right here.
Well, how did this happen?
I don't know.
We were talking about Jingle Bell, right?
We were talking about her pet fox.
Yeah, so, Bluey.
Bluey the fox. Yeah, I just went,
because
he's
you name everything Bluey.
He's a blue fox, so Bluey, okay.
It's cute.
It's cute. He's a cute little character.
He is cute. He looks like Muggsy.
Yes, he does. Oh, yeah, he's got Muggsy's mouth there. Mm-hmm. I've been trying to figure out a way. You mentioned Texas before. I was trying to think if there was a way to wedge Ida Red into the book this year. She's kind of in the main story, in the grounded story, but nothing really occurred. And then I was thinking, do we have anything for Tashi this year? And it's like, unless I do another sports story, I don't, you know, Tashi can kind of be her own thing, and I'm kind of developing her as her own thing, but that takes place in China and Chinese animals, and it doesn't really have a place in here. So mm-hmm. I guess it's just Jing and Krampus. Oh,
that's a good pair up.
Yeah. Oh, and there's a short Polly story in there this year, too. So, mm-hmm. you know.
She's got a hell of a figure for a 16-year-old, I have to say.
Well, actually, she's about...
Gotcha.
Well, yeah, she's... And she's wearing those American Apparel shorty overalls.
Which means that really she should be standing up against a wall crying with her mascara running.
You've seen too many billboards around Los Angeles.
Horrible. Oh, they're so horrible.
It's a specialized audience, you know? It's like, if that almost is a... Well, no, you're right. She would be crying.
She would be standing up against a wall, like, dejected, with her shoulders hunched over, looking up at the camera like she's sorry, with mascara running down her face like she was freshly slapped.
Either that or she'd be, like, glancing over her shoulder.
Is that not what they all look like?
What posters? Yeah.
The American Apparel campaigns?
They look beaten and cheesy at the same point.
Look it up. Yeah. On the internet, really, really quick.
Okay.
Everybody that's listening to this right now, just pause American the podcast. Apparel. Go to American Apparel and look up American Apparel ad.
Even while you're driving, right?
Yeah. Yes, I don't care if you're driving. iPhones can multitask.
If this was a holiday ad, she'd be standing, you know, with her back to the camera, looking over one shoulder, and both her straps off and her hands in her back pockets.
And garland strangulation marks around her throat.
Well, there's that, but there's also the saucy look, which is the kind of over-the-shoulder look.
They never have confidence in those ads.
I know, but it's like...
But yes, you're right about her.
We actually have that outfit because they made it, and I was going to put it on a mannequin and have it outside one Christmas.
Oh, that's creepy.
Well, I thought it would be fun. I mean, we'd make the little diorama. We have the stuffed muskox, so... And then I was going to repaint the face to look more cartoony.
Uh-huh.
But then
this
I couldn't...
was at your old house, right? Because that stuffed muskox does not live here.
No, well, we'd have to haul him out of storage.
Live here.
But
we'd have to... He could be a Christmas decoration. Right?
Yeah. No.
I could never...
Did you see him, Ezra?
I'm having trouble finding stuff that isn't pictures of girls' butts.
You see?
Hello? Their faces are crying. You just
and
can't
Woody
see
Allen, them. Oddly enough, is all over these.
I can't imagine
Woody Allen.
Why.
Yeah, I don't know why.
Oh, he's just like poking in the corner with his eyebrows up, kind of giving an awkward smile to the camera, right?
Some of them have his face on photoshopped the on the girls.
I thought you were going to say that.
What on America?
Are you being? Are you serious?
No, I'm absolutely serious. There's a lot of it.
No. Gross.
Maybe I'm just a horny old dude, but I like their clothes, you know, and I think they're fun.
You like their clothes or you like their ads?
I like their clothes. And you know where I go, and I go to a barber shop in Hollywood, Sweeney.
I don't know that those clothes would look very good on you.
I don't wear them. I like them on. They look great on you.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, you know, and I mean,
he keeps buying me these jumpsuits, and I'm like, you wear that? I'm not wearing a jumpsuit. Jumpsuits
you look very
are lame.
Cute. You look very cute.
Who wears
though?
A jumpsuit except roller skaters in the 70s?
Okay. Well, you have the pink version of this, Miss.
I do of
the outfit. Yeah, I got you the.
Oh, he just got so mad he threw the Jingle Bell picture.
You said that you didn't have any overalls to wear, so I got you the little pink version of those. But
I never saw them.
They're in the closet.
They're in your closet.
You have your stuff in there too.
I don't have any stuff in your closet. I'm very contrary today.
You're contrary. No, you're contrary today. We're like Tweedledee and Tweedledum. Contrary wise. This contrary wise that.
Any crying chicks yet?
It's mostly just them bending over, showing their butts.
Well, if Woody Allen is on the photographs, you completely understand what I'm talking about.
Yes, it's the American Apparel.
And the dude was just like,
no, they all look like they're in like kindergarten, very bad poses for their ages. Yeah,
yeah, they're all in kindergarten, and they're all like, they all have their legs shaved. It's not
they're either lying on a bed crying or looking over their shoulder with their hands in their pockets, mm-hmm. kind of like they're scratching mm-hmm. their butts or something. But it's. Anyway,
okay.
But I walked in the store the other day just to look around. They had some new stuff out, and my barber is right next door. So I go to Sweeney Todd's over in.
His barber's name is Sweeney Todd.
My barber's name that's is awesome. Sweeney Todd.
Mm-hmm. Is it really? Because
that's the name he goes
Sweeney
by.
Todd's.
Yeah, oh, I'm going to get my haircut there.
It's great. It's like there's
and
a meat pie after.
Yes, a meat pie after.
It's over near Wacko, and there's a great costume store.
I've never been to Wacko.
There's Wacko, and there's this really tremendous costume store that you should check out because they have everything for your shows. Then there's Sweeney Todd's. Then there's Umami Burger. Then there's American Apparel.
Where is this?
It's on Hollywood Boulevard, and there's a Yucca's across the street.
If you don't mind my asking.
Hollywood and Hillhurst.
Okay.
It's like
so all the girls down there look like pinups. There's this street here called Hillhurst Street, yeah. And all the girls down there have Betty Page hair, and they all wear like super hipster trendy clothes, and it's really they're all very attractive. So they it's really strange, and they just walk up and down the street all day.
They've either got the rockabilly hipster look, or they've got the vintage look happening.
Yeah, retro, know? Like really pin-up vintage. Yeah. Or it's that rockabilly. Yeah, exactly. That's exactly right. And it's like you have to have your card punched to walk up and down the street. You have to be super appealing.
Yeah, it's the boulevard of, what would you call it? I don't know. Pin-up girls. I don't know. I was going somewhere with that, and I forgot.
You were
going
to say like Boulevard of Broken Dreams, but try to...
Yeah, it didn't make any sense. And then that song popped into my head. And then
what song? Sun King?
No, Boulevard of Broken Dreams. Then the graphic novel popped into my head. There's a graphic novel called Boulevard of Broken Dreams about animation, of all things.
You have the fastest moving brain I have ever had the delight of encountering.
Me need my Ritalin.
No, you're always like totally lucid and you're totally focused.
Yeah.
But by the time I say, what are you thinking about? Which is a trap for men anyways, which I rarely do to you. But the
Admiral Ackbar, can we have a cameo? It's a trap.
Exactly. You know, but usually I'll say, are you okay? And if you say yes, then I just leave you alone.
Yes.
Because if I ask you what you're thinking about, it's a 35-minute diatribe of where it started and where it ended up between the time that I asked you.
Yes.
And it's really amazing how fast your synapses pop.
I'm going to make a great old man. It's like, don't talk to Deanie. He's just going to start vomiting weird things out of his mouth.
Oh, I can't wait.
Oh, God.
I'm so excited.
Oh, good. It'll be about, give me 20 minutes.
No, I want you the way you are.
Oh, I like the way.
For now, at least.
For now.
But when you're old and crazy, I'll still love you.
Yeah. That's great. Thank
Possibly
you.
More.
Yeah, totally. And I'll be publishing that stuff my dad says.
Oh, you should do a thing about what your dad says.
Oh, my dad.
Your dad says.
Oh, my dad says some fabulous things.
My dad says some fabulous things.
Everybody's dad says fabulous. Emily, does your dad say fabulous things?
I'm going to stay quiet.
They're classic. Let's just put it that way.
Classic. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
My mom says great things too.
Your mom is hysterical. When Paul, I'm sure I've said this a million times because it's my favorite thing she does, but Paul gets crazy sometimes. Like he just, you know, like his energy will take him in another place, or he'll say something that just came out of his mouth because he's a creative and he doesn't censor himself sometimes. Or he'll get really agitated about something because he's very dramatic. And she'll just sit there and go, oh, well, now, Paul, you've forgotten yourself.
I mean,
you
I have to
forgotten yourself. Yeah.
That means I have to mentally stop and back up the car or the Batmobile in my case and pick myself up.
Hysterical. Yeah. I just love it.
Yeah.
Because you have forgotten yourself in those minutes, and it's just she's such a gentle, articulate, eloquent, graceful woman. I admire her so much.
Thank you.
She's fabulous.
She loves you too.
Yeah, we get along pretty great.
We're going
to
England next
You're getting
week.
Ready to go to England with her.
Yeah.
You and your mom are travel companions.
Yeah, heading
What's
out
your
to
plan?
Going to the museum.
Well, she is. Okay. I'm sitting in a room at Rocksteady for 3 days saying things like, Batman Arkham City's a really great game. I hope you buy a lot of copies. And I hope you like playing the Riddler, and hope you like playing Catwoman. And my idea for this was like, oh, you know, and this is the thing. You know, I love all the guys at Rocksteady. I mean, I love working with these guys. I'll work with them on anything. But the thing is, like, I feel bad about doing PR because it's like, you know, I'm going to be sitting in a room going, blather, 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 blee, blee, blee. Well, I think this and this. And then in the next room, there's all these guys at the computer going like, yeah, really? Who's animating Penguin in this scene? It's me. Who came up with the idea of doing that? It's me. It's like these guys are great and everybody contributes. And especially in a situation like this where they just locked the game down just in the last month, everybody's making contributions and everybody's riding it to the finish. And I can't say enough for the crew over there. Mm-hmm. And they all should be taking a bow. And I would like to pull a bunch of guys in there and just say, you know, talk to this guy, you know, talk to this girl. I mean, they're the ones, you know, they did the mocap on this. This guy did all the weapons. This, you know, they're the ones who designed the stuff. You know, I'm just there to be kind of like fanboy liaison, you know, because I'm, you know.
You
like,
did a hell of a lot of work on this.
Well, I do all my work up front, but it's all the guys and girls who are just riding it to the finish now, who are locking it down or really doing the heavy lifting.
And all these people obviously love what they're doing, though, because you wouldn't put that much attention and detail and, you know, love into your project, and it shows. The last game was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was beautiful from
every
angle.
This one's better.
And if this one's better, I'm sure they know that, and they're just proud.
And they only skimmed the surface of what he gave them, because he gave them an entire breakdown, which they may continue to use. But, I mean, they only skimmed the surface of what... And have they made any announcements about the characters in the game?
Yes, they've announced quite a lot of the characters of the game.
But not all of them, right?
I'm not going to say anything else, because I'm too tempted to give away some big surprises. And there's some surprises coming that nobody who's commented on the game or who's asked questions about even suspects are in the game. But
how exciting.
Yeah, it really is. But I just, I feel a little awkward being, the sole voice on this. So I hope that, the pauses, Paul Crocker is doing a bunch of interviews and getting a lot of attention. And
he's a nice
Sefton
guy.
And everybody else.
Oh, yeah. What a great group of guys.
They are terrific.
And girls, I'm sure. Yeah. I've met a couple of them. Just fabulous, wonderful, brilliant people working on this thing. You mentioned the Riddler a moment ago. Your nephew got to meet him yesterday.
Oh, Wally Winger.
Mr. Yeah, Wally Winger.
Yeah, he went with me. I worked on Garfield yesterday.
That's right.
And we took our 9-year-old nephew. I took Paul's sister and her 9-year-old son over to the session. And he got to meet Frank Welker and Greg Berger and Wally Winger, Jason Marsden, Lorraine Newman, Julie Payne.
Wow.
And Leonard Nimoy.
Oh, Leonard Nimoy,
who just
around.
Happened to be in the lobby.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
He was working on another project.
Spock.
Yeah,
that's great.
Yeah, and he wasn't even working with us. He was just there.
Yeah.
All right. He was doing something else. I don't know.
He was special doing. Guest star and special guest star Leonard Nimoy.
Yeah, yes, exactly. He wasn't though. It's Nimoy, isn't it? I'm glad I didn't say his last name. But as soon as we left, Paul's sister looked at me and she said, "Boy, he's got a massive modern art collection." And I said, "I loved it." Out of all the things that you could have said. How about this man that she knows that he has this massive modern art collection?
He plays this really cool alien dude,
Right, like Live Long and Prosper, but she, and then she she made the hand and she said, "He's got a huge modern art collection." It's like, what? It was so funny.
Yeah.
But he was really elegant.
I saw an extra model really plane smart, once.
Did you talk to him?
No. I'm just, it's like...
He's kind of quiet. He was sort of quiet, really nice dude, just there to do his job, having lunch and reading a book.
I can't do that. It's sort of like just sort of nodded to him and he sat down and we were coming back from Vancouver. This was last year when I was doing Tower Prep and he was just on the same plate. He was doing he was appearing in either another show or a movie.
He works a lot.
Oh, yeah.
God bless that man. And he's talented.
And there's another Star Trek coming up. I don't know if he's in it, but I know that he's,
he looked great in that coat.
Yeah. Yeah. I never really sound off when I'm near a celebrity. I try not to ever since.
Oh, please.
The Tony Shalhoub incident in the Magic Castle.
Oh, my God. You know what?
No, I'll tell the story. I'll humiliate myself.
He wants to control the details. That's what it is.
What happened was one night we were at the Magic Castle. I was at the bar and Tony Shalhoub is next, comes up to get a drink. And I'm going like, and he goes, "How?" I kind of look over and, it's like, I know this guy from somewhere. Is it somebody that I've met? Because there's a familiarity when you see somebody, from television. And I kind of look, nod and go, "Hi." And he goes, "Oh, hey, how are you?" Like that. And then I look at him and say, "It's Tony Shalhoub." And it's like, "Yeah, shut up."
And what did I say to you?
"Don't say anything."
He said, "I kind of want to talk to him because I really love his work.
Because I love him much."
And I said to him, may I tell them what I said?
Yes.
I said, "Whatever you do, he seems totally amenable to converse with you. Like, he's super friendly and he's having a great time.
Yeah.
Just say nothing about his body of work. Talk to him about the architecture. Talk to him about anything but," and Paul looks him right in the face and says,
"I love Monk."
And the conversation away from the bar.
Died like a stake had been driven through it. Wow. Thank you, fanboy. He didn't add that, but it was sort of like, okay. And me, I said, I pegged myself as a fanboy. So the only way I could have to rescue the conversation was, no, I really like Monk a lot.
Oh, and he was like, looked at him,
he couldn't
get
his ginger ale fast enough and get out of there.
And I just looked at him and went, blink, blink. And I said, and now he's gone.
Now
he was like, "Ooh."
Their entire body of work now, you couldn't even bring up like Polly as like a humorous sort of quality.
Why?
I heard that the guy from ER, I can't remember his name, but he was in Coming to America, Let Your Soul Glow. One of my friends saw him on the street and said, "I loved you in Coming to America, Let Your Soul Glow." And he thought that was funny because nobody remembers him from that movie, but they know him from ER.
I don't know. It's all timing, Like
Stephen Sondheim.
Oh, Stephen. I was going to tell that story. One time they were doing a kind of halfway between a full production and a staged reading of Sweeney Todd here, mm-hmm. and it actually was a pretty full production. And Christine Baranski was Mrs. Lovett,
and I bet she was good.
Yes, yeah. she was excellent. And Kelsey Grammer was Todd. And he was great too. And afterwards, and I went with our friends Arlene Sorkin and Chris Lloyd and their good friend Adam Small. And Adam, as it turns out, is Stephen Sondheim's godson.
Adam Small created Mad TV.
Yes, a tremendously funny
TV producer, writer, really funny guy.
Really, really great guy.
Anyway.
And so we're at this party afterwards, and I said, you know, I hate to ask, but I've always loved your godfather's work. Is there any way I could say hello? And he goes, sure. Come on over. And Adam gave me a glowing introduction. This is a really terrific writer. He's been a great friend of ours. Does all these cartoons on TV. I'd like you to meet him. And it's like, and he couldn't have been nicer. And it was such an honor to meet him because I loved Mr. Sondheim's work forever.
Yeah.
And, you know, we get into talking and I say, I have to say, you know, I bet you hear this a lot, but one of my favorite things you've ever done is Pacific Overtures. And suddenly... He was smiling before, but then suddenly he just brightened. He goes, no one ever talks to me about that. And I said, that was one of the first big musicals I ever saw. I saw the San Francisco Company in like 1975 or something. And he wanted to talk about that. And he talked about Japan and his musical influence. We had this great discussion about it. It was great. It lasted about 10 minutes. Then some society woman came over and just like insinuated herself. And said, I don't have to talk to you about this. And he kind of gave me this look like, talk to her.
Yeah,
and then just drifted away. So, but it was really nice. It was just great. And that's one time when I think it was the introduction. You know, it's sort of like when somebody else is there to kind of who knows the person and paves the way. It's a lot easier.
Yeah,
absolutely. Yes, it is. And also, you didn't look him in the face and say, "I love Monk."
He's never been on the show that I know.
That kid in line with Ralphie in A Christmas Story.
Yes.
I like the Wizard of Oz.
And all you can say is, yeah.
I like the Tin Man.
Yeah.
I love Monk.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, just don't say anything about his work. I love Monk. Oh.
Great.
Okay. Excuse me. It was pretty sweet, though.
It was sweet, meaning
you were a darling.
Yeah, you know, I'm a goof like everybody else.
You know? You just genuinely love what you do, and you love good work.
That's but people say to me, you know, like, my cousin called me today, and he said, you know, I play in a band with this guy, and he would love it if you called him. And it's like, sure, I'll call him. I haven't done it yet, but to him, I guess I'm kind of a big deal.
You should call the guy at like 3 o'clock in the morning and be like, hey, it's Paul Dini. And he'd be like, you're a jerk.
Yeah. My cousin didn't tell you that part, did he? Yuck.
Hey, you have Prince Edward in a can? Better let him out.
Just start calling back over and over. I don't know where Rashi gets it
from. From you.
No, from you. Yeah.
I blame you.
He really does get it from you.
Questions from the fans.
This is from Mr. J. Garcia. Paul Dini, are you going to be working on the Green Lantern animated series? No. Actually, I was approached to write an episode around Christmas last year, and I would have loved to, and I really wanted to, because it was going to be a lot of fun, and I just didn't have time. And I've been trying to... really get my schedule in order because I know that there have been some gaps and I've been running late on a few things and sometimes it's my fault, sometimes it's not, but it's usually my fault. And so I was really trying to hit all my deadlines. And whereas I would have loved to have done it, it was coming down close to Christmas and everybody takes 2 weeks off and I would have had to have given up those 2 weeks to do it. And I just felt like, you know, no, I don't want to disappoint people. I don't want to be that guy who's taking on more work than he can handle because I like the work and I love the assignment. I love the characters and I like being involved and everything. It's a lot of fun and I'm very flattered that people always are offering me things, but there are times I have to say no. So for the sake of last year, for the sake of my sanity and just I needed those 2 weeks off,
Let's hope you have another chance to write them or something like that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Is Alan involved with that series?
I don't think he is. I think if he is, it's sort of like in a consultant sort of way.
Okay.
Actually, I had lunch with him last week. He said he saw one of the episodes. He said it looked really good. So,
that's fantastic.
And Bruce Timm is directing. So,
okay.
You know, he's producing and directing. So, you know,
it's going to be
really terrific. Ian Strope writes, what are some of your favorite adverbs and adjectives to use in a script?
You have a list or something?
No, I don't. Although I probably repeat myself quite a lot. You know, I probably go back to them unconsciously and use a bunch of old favorites. And, you know, I actually have to say, I've been out of English class. An adverb, what is that? Is that before?
L-Y. Ends in L-Y usually.
L-Y?
Mm, it's a qualifier.
Okay. And an adjective is?
Slowly.
Yes.
Slowly.
Describes
vigorously.
A verb. An adverb describes a verb like an adjective describes a noun.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so like he crept slowly. Slowly describes how he was creeping, which
right.
is the verb of the sentence.
Okay.
An adjective is
like
she was
brown.
Wearing a purple gown.
Yeah.
Purple describes the noun.
Oh. Okay. Biff Smith is
brown.
Probably
colors or adjectives.
Crying.
Crying right now. Biff Smith.
His high school English teacher.
High school English teacher and one of my best friends. And
I love that you are still good friends. We're both friends with our high school English teacher.
Yeah.
Romaine. Love me some Romaine Stapleton.
Oh, really?
That's
nice.
Her name.
Wow.
Romaine Stapleton, and she is gorgeous.
Friends with a high school English teacher, but that was just because he taught theater as well.
Yeah. She didn't. She taught Shakespeare and detective stories.
Ooh,
and,
that's a nice
and,
combo.
And creative writing. And she is brilliant.
Wow.
She took us to Stratford. They did a Stratford Theater Festival in Canada. Mm-hmm. And I went to school in Michigan. And I know we got to get back to questions. But we got to customs. And the kid who actually ended up being our valedictorian actually got suspended. Because as soon as the customs officer got on the bus, he yelled, "Hide the pot." Now,
aww.
No one had pot. But we had to prove it.
Oh,
and
boy.
They took all the cushions out of the bus and all that. And we had to wait. And then we went to Harvey's, and he decided that Harvey's, which is a very popular fast food chain in that part of Canada we were in,
mm-hmm.
was actually Soylent Green. And they had pictures of children playing on a playground and stuff. But ironically and interestingly enough, Robert, this kid who ended up being our valedictorian, noticed that there were no... They had cut at peculiar angles all these photographs. So they would show children on top of a slide, but not show the bottom of the slide. And he would say, "You know why they don't show that?" And I'd say, "Why?" He goes, "Because there's a mulcher at the end. Because Harvey's is people." And I was like, "Oh, my God." And he was like, "That fountain, there's a little girl reaching into a fountain." He's like, "Don't touch it. It's acid." It was really hysterical. But he was so naughty that
it was
whole
a barrel
time.
Of laughs.
Wow.
So
he was really funny.
Someday
anyway.
I'll tell you more about Biff Smith, you know, like at some point. But he was
a brilliant jazz musician.
He's a brilliant jazz musician. He has a band called Along Came Betty. And he performs in... on the Monterey Peninsula a lot. And then he takes the summer off to go teach at the Berklee College of Music in Boston.
Oh, wow, yeah.
And then he goes up to Vermont to a farmhouse that his family owns. And it's like every picture you've seen in like Front Gate or Williams and Sonoma, you know, like verdant rolling hills and farmhouses and guys in pinstripes and, you know, just sitting around on Adirondack chairs and having a good time and playing great music. He keeps inviting us up there. We should really go one summer.
Oh, we definitely should. I just like spending time with him because he's so smart and fun to talk to.
Anyway, he lives right next door to my mom in Carmel, and you know, go up there and visit a lot at Robert Louis Stevenson, my old alma mater in Pebble Beach. I love that school. My brother teaches there now.
Yes, he does.
Wadicus writes, "As a writer, how did it feel to see your Mr. Freeze origin adapted sort of in the Batman and Robin movie?" Felt really kind of good. I mean, I was kind of honored that they had gone to that, you know, that idea that I'd come up with was, you know, it had entered into DC lore. And
it was,
you know,
a strong idea. It
yeah.
really was.
And I thought that the segments in the movie where they showed Arnold Schwarzenegger making the little music box and everything, I thought that was really kind of fun and touching. And I liked the idea that they used that. I thought it was kind of cool, actually. Actually, and the reason I think very fondly of that scene is I was invited on the set by Joel Schumacher, and the day I came, I was able to bring my brother Bruce and my nephew, his son Matt, on the set. And Arnold was in full... It's that scene where he is encouraging his men to sing along with the Snow Miser cartoon.
Yeah.
So he's actually going around in a bathrobe and polar bear slippers. So they were doing that scene that day, and it was great. You know, say what you want about the final movie, but it was wonderful that Joel stopped shooting and introduced my nephew to the cast, who was 7 years old at the time, and Arnold shook his hand, and George Clooney and Chris O'Donnell were there.
Oh, wow.
And George Clooney is the nicest man in the world. It's often been said that, but he was such... Both him and Chris, everybody, Arnold was great.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know... George came up, and they were in their regular clothes. They weren't in the bat outfits or anything. Yeah. But he just came over and showed my nephew around everything, and he and Chris were just so nice. They showed him the Mr. Freeze set, and it was actually really cool to go in on the other set, and there's Nora Freeze in the chamber and everything. And Schumacher said, "Well, I hope we did your character justice." And I said, "You know, hey, I'm just happy to see it. You know, it was a great day for that reason alone." And every story I've heard about how charming George Clooney is, it's absolutely 100% true. Hmm. Real nice guy.
That's amazing.
So, I mean, there's a celebrity encounter that Tony Shalhoub.
Yeah.
Fortunately, okay.
Because again, you didn't look at him and yell, "I love Monk" in his face. Yeah.
Well, I wouldn't.
Oh, you did, but he didn't mind.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
No, I didn't.
He's like, "I like it too."
I didn't say I love ER. Monk is a great show. That's
yeah.
It's really good.
Oh, I love ER. Get me away from this guy. let's see. The Citizen Steel writes, if given the ideal production team, artists, writers, and channel, what would be your show you would produce?
Lots of answers to that question.
Actually come true sooner than we
think. Yeah.
Let's keep those under wraps.
Something, you know, I've been lucky enough to do a lot of ideal shows. Actually, the ideal production team artist, Tower Prep was ideal in a lot of ways. Maybe not so much a channel, but everything else was... Channel too, you know, because they bought the thing, you know, and they took a leap of faith on it. So I really enjoyed that, even though I don't know if we're coming back for more episodes, even at this late date. I still don't know. So I'll get that question out of the way. And he also writes, Ragman is an example of a Jewish hero. If you had a chance to form a team of religious heroes for religious peace, who are they? Religious heroes?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's like, or okay,
like
Ragman.
Like what? The South Park Gandhi? Team of super, Christ, you know, whatever, religious friends or whatever that
okay,
was.
Okay, well, all right. Let's
Muhammad.
The heroes I know, I don't think Batman believes in much of anything. I think Batman believes in his fists. I think Superman probably believes in Rao or whatever Kryptonian deity he had
back
there.
Yeah, there you go.
Harley Quinn is Jewish.
Wonder Woman is or Greek. Or half-Jewish. And the Greece,
Britney. Is the Green Lantern a religion? It's not really a religion. No,
it's a space cop.
Oh, he's a cop. Okay. Yeah. The Jedis are a religion. Jedi Knights as being a religion like monks. Zatanna, I actually had her pass herself off as a Catholic in one comic, and I think that's her family origin because she's Italian, so I think her family is Catholic, but I think at this point she's seen so much stuff that I think... She also later in the book says, I'm a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
So I think if she needed to know Kabbalah, she'd know it. If she needed, demonology, she'd know it. If she could call on anything. I think that her concept of what... You know, I don't see her as a particularly religious character. She's probably Wiccan, I would guess, at this point.
Look at me. I don't know what she does with her life.
I don't know. She's probably a little bit...
He looks at me because he's like, what are you? Because that's what I'm just going to throw in. That I'm a little bit of everything line was... Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it. It's like, she sampled it all works for her, and none of it works for her. So she just
put together
her own
thing. The Riddler
could
be Jewish.
It would be interesting. Who would they fight? They'd fight Penn Jillette.
Oh, there you go.
None of you are real. None of you have any power. None of you are real. We're not having this discussion. let's see. For podcast, what was it like working on Lost? Lost, you know, like a lot of jobs, Lost was really great, and sometimes it was not so great. It was, you know, it was really terrific at first because nobody knew what we were doing. Mm-hmm. And I remember early on being in the room, like we'd be in the room talking, or we'd go out to lunch, and when it was just myself and Javier and Jennifer Johnson and Damon and Brian Burke and JJ, a couple of others, it was just like, we would say, this is going to die in 2 weeks or it's going to become Star Trek. You know, I had a weird feeling that it was going to be one way or another, that it was going to be as popular as Star Trek and people would love it and be a big cult show. And, it had its ups and downs. By and largely, it was a great working experience. And I'm still in contact with everybody over at Bad Robot.
Really have an idea of how it was going to sort out at the end from the beginning?
Yeah, and it was pretty much what you saw.
Wow.
Yeah.
That is good to know.
I mean, a lot of details changed, a lot of things about specifically about the island, but it was never...
The premise was there.
Because I can't stay... I can't...
Of course.
I can't speak for Damon and Carlton and for what, you know, how the show wound up, but I do it was always more important, like, in the writer's room, it would be like, the island is the ultimate temptation for writers. We can go crazy with all the weird, cool stuff, but we can't forget it's a story about people being lost and found spiritually and where they are at that point in their life. Mm. And if we lose ourselves in the island, we forget the human connection, and then we really will be off in a week. If it's about the polar bears and the giant statues and the others in the forest and the mystery of the island and the monster and everything, it really is going to be like, why is this not on Sci-Fi? Or so, why is this not an episode of Doctor Who? And they would yank us.
Not to say that they never had an interest in that stuff, but then that stuff really wasn't as important to them. They were willing to just make that as skeletal and sketchy as possible to dedicate on the characters.
And that was a very valuable learning experience for me, because I came in there wanting to be the monster guy, wanting to have them fight beasts and everything. I wanted to do an Irwin Allen show, you know, Land of the Giants, you know, monsters every week, and I don't care if the gorilla suit looks hokey, put a unicorn horn on it and run it through here, you know, just like on Star Trek. A little
Mugatu action.
Yeah, a little Mugatu, yeah, put him in there. Bring in the Gorn and the Horda also, you know, bring them all in. But it really taught me how to be restrained. So when we did Tower Prep, and I think this is the reason people like Tower Prep as much as they did, it really taught me to use some restraint. Yeah, let's have secret guardians patrolling the forest, and we don't know if they're cyborgs or not, but I know what they are, I know what their purpose is, and I know who they are and who trains them. I'm
how
not going
to
say.
How much that information do you want to give out?
That's season four. That's season four. And every little hint goes to season four. But what's more important, and what I told everybody, is like, how does Gabe relate to Suki this week? When are we going to get a character turn from Ray? When are we going to see that Ray isn't the asshole that he always pretends to be? But how are we still going to keep him an asshole in some ways? And how are we going to feel some sympathy for him? Let's not make Fenton a complete joke in this episode. Let's see, he's got something there. Let's give a cryptic line from Headmaster here that really, that he empathizes with Ian, but he's still going to be a hard ass on him. Those were all the things, like, it's not What's in the Woods, it's not Cornelius Tower, it's not Doc Specs, it's not all those things, but it is.
Yeah.
But we can't forget those. That's what keeps, you know, you need Red Fang every once in a while. You need one of those things. But the story begins and ends with the quartet, the foursome. So working on Lost was great, and it taught me how to write in that.
Wow.
In that milieu, I mean, I always had a handle on animation, but you know, really, was a great experience as far as new things to learn. So I think that's it for questions for this time around. Thank you for talking, and I think we will have, some more questions maybe next week or the week I get back from London, and we'll continue on. Do you have anything to add, Misty?
Bye.
See you later,
guys. Well,
that's
succinct. Bye, everybody.
At some point, we will have to pay Bert Camford some royalties.
Never.
This has been another episode of Radio Rashi. If you've enjoyed this episode, let everyone know by leaving a review in the iTunes Store. It's a great way to help others find us. You can also leave comments on RadioRashi.com, Facebook.com/RadioRashi, or follow us on Twitter at Radio Rashi or at Paul_Dini to leave us questions. Thanks for listening, and tell your friends.